And welcome back to Coast, John Rappaport with us, nomorefakenews.com, and we're going to take your calls with him and talk more about No More Fake News in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. This is the interactive portion of Coast to Coast. We'll take your calls with John Rappaport. But John, I want to get your thoughts on some conspiracy theories. And the one, of course, one of the big ones occurred in 2012 when in sick individual by the name of Adam Lanza went into the Sandy Hook Elementary School in Connecticut, firing away with handguns and XM-15s, and he killed 20 children and six adults, staff members. And then later on, some media members, and many that I know and some that you know, said that this was a conspiracy. It never happened. Now, isn't that irresponsible? Regardless of whether Lanza was a Manchurian candidate, that's a different issue. But I mean, to simply say it did not happen, how can they say that?
Yeah, that's a big one. You know, lots of evidence has been, maybe I should put quotes around that, has been published to prove that it never happened, that the whole thing was a hoax and nobody died, and so on and so forth. It's not one of the stories that I've looked into extremely deeply, but all I can say is that some of that evidence proves that the major media version, the government version of what happened, looks like it's quite wrong, that something else was going on, like more shooters, or Lanza was not the shooter, he was a patsy, or any number of other things. In other words, holes in the story, contradictions in the story. Mm-hmm. But as you say, that's quite different from saying nothing at all happened.
Exactly.
So that's where I can rest on that one. But, you know, I did want to bring up one thing that I forgot to mention, and this is kind of what I would consider getting a bit into the dark side of major media. The Washington Post in 2013 was going broke. Now, this is one of the two or three biggest newspapers, most influential newspapers in the world. So they had a fire sale, and Jeff Bezos, who owns Amazon, stepped up and laid down roughly $250 million in cash.
Which was nothing for him.
Nothing, and said, I'll buy it. And he did. Well, it turns out that Amazon, the company that Jeff Bezos owns, has a $600 million cloud computing contract with the CIA. And there's probably more to come. So, in independent media, there have been lots of comments about this.
Hmm.
There should be a conflict of interest statement made here, because any time the Washington Post publishes an article about the CIA or takes information from the CIA as a source, we're talking about a newspaper that's ultimately owned by one man who has a $600 million contract with the CIA.
That's a good point.
Come on. And interestingly, this outage that you talked about at the top of the
show
tonight, cloud computing service of Amazon. I wonder what happened to the CIA data when it was shut down, whether they were shut down as well, because that's where they're doing their cloud computing with Amazon.
Now, I'm still having trouble tonight getting into some websites.
Mm. So far, I'm pretty good here with a lot of knock wood.
Let's take some calls here for you, John. And your website, the main one is nomorefakenews.com, but you also have a WordPress one, don't you?
Yes, johnrappaport.wordpress.com, but all the stories are linked from No More Fake News to the blog.
So. Latest book, The Ownership of All Life?
That's actually a book that I wrote some time ago, but that indeed did look into major media, fake news.
Mm-hmm. Way ahead of its time.
Yeah.
All right, to the phones we go. Scott is in Iowa, and you're on with us. Scott, welcome to the show.
Hello, George, and your guest is quite a guy. It's fun listening to him, and he sure has got the facts.
He does.
But, you know, I'd just like to point out that some of this has been going on for a long time. Like NBC's Dateline back in 93 had to admit it rigged the the car that hit the GM pickup with flares and all sorts of things like that. And Dan Rather, who I think is a good man, and maybe wasn't responsible for the story, but he ran the story about Bush going AWOL. Well, you know, I don't know. Dan has a different look on that. But it seems that this time around, when you have the New York Times apologizing for cheerleading for one side of the political parties, you know, you wonder who's the socialist globalist you know, wants to do away with America. And as a matter of fact, Hillary Clinton had said all of the Northern Hemisphere borders. And I just wonder, like I was talking with Tommy, how much of these lies are coming from politicians? And I'll take my answer off here.
All right. What do you think, John?
Well, I'm glad he brought up the word globalist, because part of the rage of major media against Trump, regardless what you think of Trump, whether you like him, you hate him, he opened up an issue during the campaign in very blunt terms that no modern president has during a campaign, and that is these free trade treaties, globalism, the stealing of jobs out of the U.S., putting huge numbers of people out of work, factories closing down, going overseas, slave labor, then exporting products back to the United States, et cetera, et cetera. All of this agenda that has been welded into major media forever. He was challenging that directly, and that really upset a lot of people. And I believe that that was one of the major reasons that the attacks on him became so vitriolic, is because he just said, no, we're not going to do this anymore. This is not right. And he found that indeed there was a huge sector of people in America who wanted to listen to this. And some of these people had been thrown out of their jobs. Many of them had been thrown out of their jobs. And, you know, we go deeper into this. And I think you and I have discussed this before, actually. The agenda, as far as I'm concerned, of the globalists has to do with wrecking economies. They want to reduce all nations down to a kind of homogenous pulp.
Third world. They want third world nations so that they depend on them.
Exactly. Much easier to control that kind of population than a population that believes in individual freedom, you know, person takes incentive into his own hands, entrepreneurial attitudes, independence, and so on, the Constitution of all things. No, that all has to go by the boards as far as the globalists are concerned. And as soon as Trump opened his mouth and began talking about this, and people, many people responded, some of them hangovers from the Ron Paul presidency campaign, this turned on all kinds of red lights and red flags in major media as they felt they had to really go after him, because in Washington, in other places, this agenda was set in stone. If Hillary Clinton won the election, she was just going to take that forward as Obama had. And suddenly here was this roadblock. We got to get rid of this guy. So that's a vital element of what's going on in major media.
All right, back to the calls. We have Ann in Frankfort, Kentucky, east of the Rockies. Yay, Ann, thank you. Go ahead.
I don't believe Russia and Putin swayed us, and I think WikiLeaks maybe somewhat, but the one who delivered the roundhouse punch, I think, was Anthony Weiner. Can you tell me, since Comey didn't want to get pulled into it, at the very last minute, is this the sequence? Did he call the NYPD, the police department in New York City, and then they called the FBI and forced them to get involved at the last minute so that a subset of the electors could find out what was really going on?
Well, I'm not sure if that conversation went back and forth in that way, but we're told that there's 650,000 emails on that computer of Anthony Weiner. And the NYPD was very interested in that. And there were a few brief stories, And of course, Comey reopened briefly the investigation into Hillary Clinton at that point, because statements were coming out like, we found more on this laptop than just, you know, strange, weird sexual aspects of Wiener's life. There's other stuff there, a lot of other stuff. And then that was quickly shut down. And of course, we've heard nothing about it of any substance since then. What is in those 650,000 emails? And I think that Comey decided that he would shortcut the whole thing over at the FBI by saying, well, we looked at all the emails, and there's nothing really there that would require us to investigate Hillary Clinton further. I mean, he took the FBI took about a year or more to comb through 30,000 emails, but in about 7 days, they had vetted 650,000 emails and decided that there was nothing there.
No way.
This is an instance where they just shut the whole thing down.
I think so, too. You would have needed millions of agents to take care of all that stuff.
Jeez. Right.
Exactly. Not quite millions, but close. Cornelius in Louisiana is with us. Hi, Cornelius.
Hey, George and John. I got to tell them, I'm the God, Guns, and Gold man, the Bible, Boots, and Means man, Big John Rappaport. We need to get ready. And I'm glad George had you on. George, I'm glad you had your luncheon, you and Tommy.
Went well.
In the Mardi Gras. And like you said, Bible, Bullets, and Beads instead of booze.
And what's this with people getting hit by these drunks all the time? Jeez.
It hadn't been happening. I don't know what happened to these. That old man, I think he just lost control. And that other guy, he was just totally drunk. Yeah. So they're going to put him away. But the old man, I just think he just accidentally hit the gas instead of the
brake. Yeah, or maybe something happened to him. But go ahead, John, Courtney.
Yeah, John, my question is, you know, and I'm glad you got your website. I hope they don't take it down. I've been trying to get, and George knows this too, I've been trying to get my presidential pardon for 3 years. I've been trying to bring out news around here. They've been killing our vets at the local Alexandria VA. But the local news seems like they don't want to carry it. So what's the best way? Just go online with it or something? And that's my question. I'll take it off the air. God bless you, John Rappaport.
He used to work in the prison system, John. But if you want to get information out, I guess what's the best way? Facebook, Twitter?
Yes, certainly. But what I tell people who approach me in this way is write it up. Do your own research. Write the whole thing out. Do the best possible job you can. And then publish it yourself on the web. I mean, you can put up a blog in 20 minutes. You know, it's not rocket science. Anybody can do this. Then once you've done that and it's there and it's the best you can do, now you can start to let other news outlets of all kinds know what you've got and send the link to them and explain it briefly and see how much coverage you can actually get. It works. It's work. It's actual work. But that's what I say. Be your own media source if you can't get any help. Write it up yourself first and then present it. And you'd be surprised. People will pick it up if you did a good job.
John, getting back to Sandy Hook for a second, and the shooter, Adam Lanza, is dead, apparently shot himself in the head that horrible day. But if the conspiracy theorists are correct about some of it, not the fact that it didn't happen, but that there were other shooters or some other groups were involved, why would that be? What would the motivation be? What were they trying to do? What did they want to change by creating this kind of horrible episode?
Well, I think if we look at the consequences and who benefits, first of all, of course, there was another major push to take guns away from people.
That ain't going to happen.
To take guns away from people who don't shoot anybody. I mean, you know, this is, I never get tired, I guess, really, of saying it, but what you basically see is, okay, so let's take guns away from all the people who don't shoot anybody. And then also the very tiny percentage of the people who do. That's the way we're going to handle this. Instead of you know, actually going after the people who are committing continuous gun crimes, for example, in cities.
Primarily with illegal guns.
Yes, sure, exactly. And the other thing I would say is, and I wrote about this, all of a sudden, as if he had just thought this up, President Obama announced the BRAIN Initiative. Because he said, okay, we're dealing obviously with a mentally ill person here in Adam Lanza, and so we have to expand the number of mental health psychiatric clinics all over the country. And also, we're going to put in $100 million as seed money so that neuroscientists can study the brain further and decide how violence arises in the brain and so forth. Well, this is really under the surface yet another version of Clockwork Orange, if people remember that movie.
Oh, sure. Stanley Kubrick's movie.
Exactly. It's really all about we want to control the brain, and we're going to do this under the guise of stopping violence. But what we really want to do is to just control people's brains and find better, easier, more effective ways of doing that so that we can control populations. So I would say that those two agendas would explain why something much different happened at Sandy Hook than was reported.
Back to the calls we go. Jeff in Victoria, British Columbia. Hello, Jeffrey. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Well, thank you, George.
Sure.
Anyway, I just wanted to ask Mr. Rappaport about conspiracy theories within conspiracy theories. The reason why I had this thought was because George Knapp had a guy on Sunday night, I think, and it sounded like the guy was talking about UFOs and how he's going to come out with this information and all that. And I sort of thought, this guy is like creating a conspiracy theory within a conspiracy theory because he wouldn't give any information. And he's like saying, oh, the government's like, you know, withholding all this information about UFOs. And then I thought, well, how come the government spends all this money on SETI and on NASA and all that if they know that there's aliens that are coming here? So, you know, it doesn't
okay,
make
well,
sense.
I think, first of all, if somebody says they're going to expose something and they don't really give you any facts, they don't give you substance, then I think, you know, you just sort of suspend judgment and say, well, let's see what they really come up with. I mean, because there's a lot of people who will do that. But, as you know, because you can find people who have really researched UFOs and the government and what the government has withheld about UFOs, people who actually make sense and have a great deal to say about it that is valid and startling. So I wouldn't judge that issue on this guy alone. And as far as other government programs are concerned, like you know, SETI and so forth, I think you would have to, somebody, and I'm sure this has already happened, I'm not one of these investigators, look into SETI and say, is that really a completely honest program? Or have certain signals from outer space been actually suppressed or denied or made little of when in fact they were really quite interesting?
John, we're going to come back and take final phone calls with you as we talk about nomorefakenews.com. Okay, welcome back to our final segment with John Rappaport and your phone calls as we talk about the issue of nomorefakenews.com. John, what would you recommend to people who want to try to at least not fall for the fake story? What are some of the first things they need to do?
See if the story has a source. And what is it? Is it some anonymous person? Are there any quotes? Are there any references that you can look up and see for yourself? Sometimes claims are made and you'll see so-and-so, but who is that so-and-so? Where does it come from? That's the first thing that I would say. See what, you know, you're looking for evidence. You're a detective. You're reading a story. Okay. The story got some facts in it, and what do those facts look like? And would you be willing to present them, you know, in a trial? Somebody's making a case for something. How well are they doing it? Where's the evidence? If you use that as a guideline, I think you can succeed in a great many cases in saying, okay, this is fake. I'm not going to pay any attention to that. So that would be step one.
What are some of the big stories out there that you've been tackling lately?
Well, as I described earlier, briefly, this whole business about the CIA connection through Amazon to the Washington Post, I think is quite major, because the Washington Post was really the first news outlet that started this whole fake news meme after the election. They actually retracted a major piece of that story, but they continue on and on and on. So that is one of the stories that I have been hot on, you might say. And the other is a continuing effort to show people the effects of the U.S. medical system in terms of it being now, excuse me, the third leading cause of death in the U.S. And why is that? And what is going on behind the scenes in medical research and drug research and so forth? And again, this is not being covered by major media, and it deserves a great deal more attention.
Are they afraid of losing their advertising dollars, or what's their motivation for backing off?
Yeah, that's number one. They know. In fact, Robert F. Kennedy Jr. recently said that he had sat down to lunch with a top executive at a major television news outlet, and they had a conversation, and the big cheese said to him, if I had a host of a television show and he had on a guest that lost me a pharmaceutical account, that host would be out of a job. Period.
Wow.
You know, I mean, it's pretty stark, right? So at that level, that's what it's all about. But at a deeper level, it's really that, you know, this medical system is a gigantic octopus that involves everybody for their entire lives. And any attempt to expose a really dark side of the whole thing is frowned upon would be a vast understatement. Major media will just not take it up. You can't break through. I've tried many times, and it's just like going up against a brick wall. It's the most protected cartel in the world. I've got a lot of readers in Australia, and I get reports from there all the time. If you go online with a blog or a website or whatever, and you provide evidence against the overwhelming view that vaccines are wonderful and safe, you will get mercilessly attacked. I mean mercilessly attacked. And there's a story about one woman, very brave, death threats, all kinds of horrible images emailed to her. I mean, it's really quite vicious. If you in some places decide that you're going to expose the truth about any of this.
Let's go to Chad in Albany, New York, Wildcard Line. Chad, welcome to the show. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, George?
Okay.
Thanks for letting me call in. I'm listening on 810 WGY, and all my lifetime I've seen a rise in Associated Press stories and local papers, less journalism, which I tie into, you know, controlled, homogenized news. And also, there's markets like L.A., Los Angeles, where one company owns three affiliates, which makes me question the control over the news there. Also, I'm curious, who runs the Associated Press? How did it come to be? And what the heck is the Ad Council? You know, who is on this Ad Council for all these PSAs I hear? And how do you get on to the Ad Council, and how much control do they have on the PSAs that our tax dollars pay for to tell us some ridiculous, stupid things, I think?
The Associated Press is owned by contributing newspapers, radio, and television stations all across the country. It is supposed to be a not-for-profit organization. UPI used to be in existence. They are not anymore. They went out of business. That's what the Associated Press is. They have, by the way, as of several years ago, revenue of $500 million. And, you know, they make about $200 million a year. Not bad. Go ahead,
Joe. Not bad at all. Yeah, that's a. I'm glad you brought this up, George, because this is something that most people don't understand. The Associated Press and the caller is absolutely right. You'll see more and more stories in the press from the Associated Press, AP. And sometimes media outlets will just take those stories, rewrite them a little bit, and publish them under the byline of a reporter or whatever. But really, the Associated Press is the biggest major media outlets in America. They formed it. They put it together as a, quote, nonprofit. It's a consortium. So it's an echo effect. You know, you say, well, this is an AP story. Yeah, but look who actually is responsible for AP, CBS, NBC. I mean, all the major media outlets put that together. So you're not getting anything independent there.
And, of course, the Advertising Council, the Ad Council, that, too, is not for profit. They promote public service announcements throughout all the media. That includes agencies of the United States government. They do well over 40-some million dollars a year in revenue, but their expenses just about match that. They're not really supposed to make profit here. That's what they do, too. John, you want to comment on them at all?
Not much to say other than what you have already said. But here's something that's been shut out of major media for years. It used to be a story, and it's not anymore. VNRs, video news release.
Oh, they used to come out like crazy in those days.
Right, and they I'm sure, still do, but nobody talks about them. You'll get a corporation, for example, who puts together something that looks like a news story but has a definite point of view that favors
them
or their product or whatever, and they send these out to major media all over the world, and they're played as little news segments, or they're cut up and some little piece of it will be put on, and nobody says where it comes from. It doesn't come from the network. It comes from a corporation.
Yeah, they should disclaim that.
Absolutely.
You know, whatever,
but then
they
if they did, people would start asking, well, I thought you guys were, you know, giving us the news. You're just piping what you get from somewhere else and claiming it's your own. So people don't talk about that anymore.
Archer in Maui in Hawaii, west of the Rockies. Hello, Archer. Go ahead.
Aloha, George and John.
Hi.
Hi. I'd like to say you're both brilliant and spot on concerning the globalization agenda. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
I would enjoy hearing what you gentlemen have to say in regard to fake news concerning the big three: predictive programming, perception management, and propaganda.
Ah, let's talk about propaganda for a moment. The Nazis did a great job with that. They even had a department for propaganda, John. Are we headed that way?
Oh, I think we're in it, just up to our necks. I'm sure a lot of your listeners know about Operation Mockingbird, which was a CIA program that started in the 1950s to ensnare and involve and insert CIA assets and sometimes agents into media to plant stories. Carl Bernstein, in I think 1977, wrote a famous article about this, I believe it was published in Rolling Stone, about the CIA influence on the media. Well, that's all because of propaganda. That's the idea, is to give people fake news, you know, and to frame certain issues of policy and what's happening in the world in terms that the CIA, you know, wants to do it.
Is Mockingbird still around?
Well, I believe it is, only not in the same form that it was, because we've got people in the CIA that are still embedded in the news business. And as far as perception management is concerned, I'm very big on that because I've studied elite television anchors for a long time in terms of their acting skills. This is one of the biggest hypnotic operations going on the planet. How do you train a person to become an anchor? Tone of voice, rhythm, pace, a sense of authority without being overbearing.
Facial impression, you know, all that stuff.
Colors in the studio, the restful blue colors that are often found. The way that stories are taken out to the field. We now go to our reporter in Baghdad, so on and so forth, and then you listen carefully to what the guy in Baghdad is really saying, and you realize, well, he could have picked that up off a wire service. He could have been sitting in the men's room at Grand Central Station and reported the same story. He's not actually in Baghdad walking down the street trying to dig up the story and facts and so forth. Are you kidding? No. But it gives you the sense of reach, power. We're there. We know what's going on. CNN absolutely won the audience in the early days of CNN based on that. Reporters in the field, but these reporters in the field are not really reporters. And that's one of the things you could have noticed about Sandy Hook. They sent their big anchors out there.
Mm-hmm.
They sent
mm-hmm.
field reporters. But these people were not there to find out what actually happened. They were there to give the impression that this is a tragic event. It's going to make the networks lots of money because people are going to be glued to their screens day after day. But no actual investigation was going on in Sandy Hook by these reporters. They were talking to the police. They were talking to the FBI. They were talking to, you know, in some case, medical examiner. And that's it. They could have done it by phone. So people have to look at this. I'm glad he brought this up about perception management. The entire operation of television, national television news, is all constructed as a kind of a stage play to give you the impression that this is the truth. This could not be other than the truth. And it's really very well staged. That's what they're doing. That's what they're good at. And the anchors are picking up their huge paychecks because they are excellent actors. They know how to voice the news, move from one story to another, and make it seem as if everything blends together. Whereas, try this sometime. Look at the national news and just jot down a few notes about each story that they cover. And then after it's all over, look at those notes and you'll see, gee, you know, they covered like 16 stories and none of them really were connected in any way whatsoever. But if I watched the anchor and listened to him, I would get the sensation of a river flowing for a half hour. I was just carried along. Well, that's called acting, folks.
Couple more calls. Richard is in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Hi, Richard. Thank you for calling. Go ahead.
Hey, George. You keep getting better every show.
Oh, I'm glad
I have been
it.
So impressed. I've listened to you for 2 years, and you are awesome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And I've taken your advice. I've got silver, and I bought Patriot food.
You're going to be lucky on both fronts one day. We'll be knocking on your door.
John, I was a Trump supporter, and I understand where you come from. And you understand why Middle America picked this time and place to do what they did. What I want to know is, you know, we see the crap that's coming out of the major networks. How many of them do you think in a year will still be in business, or how many do you think will have to merge together just to survive?
Good questions.
Well, I'm afraid to say that I think they'll all be in business because they're making lots of money on this.
They're making money. News operations are making money. That's why they're still there.
And Trump is making them money. I don't care whether the network is for Trump or against Trump. Either way, they're making money off of Trump, and they know that. So they want to attack him mercilessly, or they want to defend him. Somewhere in the bean counter's office, they're adding up the ad revenues, and they're saying, wow, we're doing very well, the ratings are going up, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But what I do think is happening is that there is a major shift away from people believing in major media. In other words, they are going more and more to independent media to get important news.
Well, like you, John, and like what we do and what Alex does, and I sometimes have to rein Alex back down a little bit, but I think a lot of people are going more to what we call the alternative news. Would you agree?
Absolutely. No question about it.
I mean, you must see it just with your website hits.
I do. No question. Absolutely. Over the last couple of years, you know, it's really accelerated. So this is what's happening. There is a tilt of the seesaw in the other direction, away from people just naively believing everything that they get. So they're going somewhere else. I don't like what they're saying. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't add up. I'm not getting any facts. Let me go somewhere else. Let me look around online and let me see, or let me listen to a radio that is not, you know, just coming out of NBC or CBS. And all of a sudden people wake up and they go, my God, this is a whole other universe I never knew was here before.
Exactly. John, give us the other name of your book. I talked about The Ownership of All Life, but you also wrote a book called The Secret Behind Secret Societies. And can people get them on Amazon still?
I think so. I think they're still there. The printings were sold out a long time ago. But yes, Secret Behind Secret Societies was an attempt to really dig very deeply into what you could call perception management, but at a much deeper level. What is the basic mind control operation on planet Earth? What are the elites doing in order to try to keep people in the reality that they are inventing for us?
Okay, my friend. Thank you again. John Rappaport, nomorefakenews.com. Up next, The Boy Who Knew Too Much. Wait till you hear this story.